Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, yourself?
Oh, good.
Good.
Fucking cold.
Good. 2018 is here.
Yep, with a vengeance.
Yeah, it is. It is really cold.
Oh my god! I started my car at lunch, thankfully.
Yeah. That'll freeze the nuts off a steel bridge.
Freeze the nuts off. Yes. How are you, my brother?
Good. And yourself?
I'm very good.
Yeah, I'm a grandpa.
Yes.
Grandpa, yes. Actually, we were going to, because originally we were going to go tonight or after work and go and see the baby.
Okay.
But Dawn is sick, so, and I'd probably be carrying the germ. So Danica said we should probably do it another night. And I said, not a problem. I don't think the baby's going anywhere, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
And it's pretty cold out, so I mean, I don't mind staying in.
Yeah, no kidding. So, so they're home now?
Yep, they're home.
Awesome.
Water broke on Saturday, and then New Year's Eve. And then she had it before midnight, so she wasn't... It wasn't a New Year's baby.
That's, you know what, I had a bet with Zach. I said, you're not gonna make the New Year, and he said, nope. We're making the New Year. He's like,
living at the teaser. You never know.
Yeah.
But all is good. So
That's sweet. That's amazing news. I'm very, very excited. I can't wait to go see. Maybe this weekend we can go see the little nugget. See how she's doing.
For sure. Yeah. Then I bought my new baby. You saw that?
Yes. I can't wait to hear it. So, yeah. What'd you get, Todd? What'd you get?
Well, I get the base. It's an Ibanez SR. Now, there's so many different models. There's like the 300 and 350 and the 400 series, the 500 series. So actually, I got the 400 series that was on sale along McQuaid.
Oh, and it was their Boxing Day sale. You picked it up from then, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a it was a Boxing Day sale up to I think New Year's Eve or something.
Yeah.
So I was there I went the last day in the morning. They opened it was on a Sunday first, like December. They said they were open on Sunday, so went there and first thing in the morning went in, took a look at what they had. Because they said they had one, picked it up, played it, it was awesome. And then it was like, the model up from the one I got was, I think, about $300 more, but it had Bartolini pickups and the whole bit. But, I mean, you know, for that much more money, the 400 was more than enough for me.
Yeah.
Because the other bases I have, they're all kind of slapped together with glue and duct tape. So this will be my first new purchase base.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so it should be good.
I can't wait to hear what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, and you've got like a soap bar pickup, like a humbucker pickup. So it's got a coil tap where you can go singles, like if I was playing jazz or...
So you can just flip the switch.
Basically. Yeah, it's got a built-in preamp.
Okay.
They're passive pickups, but there's a preamp in there that... But it runs on a 9-volt battery, so I can bring up the mids or the top end or the bass. It's quite dynamic.
I want to hear what it sounds like through your amp.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet through an amp. I was just kind of practicing our songs through Reaper.
Oh yeah, okay.
On the computer, and I mean that sounded good. I tried to A and B it with my other one, and my other one didn't seem to have as much output as this one. But I don't know if that's because this one's got humbuckers, where the other one's more of a PJ. It's got the dual in the middle, and then it's got the straight one on the bridge. So it's kind of a combination type deal. So yeah, this should be interesting. I love the way it feels. Just fits like a glove in my hand,
It's got a longer neck, right? In it, but skinnier, right?
No, it's not a longer neck. It's a, what they call it, is it a 40, 40-inch scale or 42-inch scale. My PV Millennium is the same scale, but the thing is it only has 21 frets, where this one has 24. So it's,
yeah,
it's brought up a little more. And some of the music that we play, we're not just doing the dum 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 dum. I mean, yeah, I got to be different places in the neck. So this one's way more versatile, where I can kind of get up the higher register without, you know, having to, you know, contort my wrist and arm to try and get up to the higher fret. So yeah, this is
better.
Exactly, yeah, like the one that I have that I use that we play, my check or what's that series?
Forgetting the name of your bass.
There's a you know, I keep forgetting the brand of the other bass because it's oh my god, Greg Bennett. They make those. Anyways. anyways, that one has a longer. It's the same scale, but it's still. But that one has 24 frets, and I can get really high. So I really love that bass.
Yeah.
But for, you know, having one bass all the time, you never know when, you know, you might break down or whatever. So I figured, well, I'll get this one, and if this one here works out better, then this will be my main.
Yeah,
and then the other one will be my main for now, anyway.
So when you go to shows, you bring both of them out.
Yeah, but if I see, when I play the new Ibanez, the strings are a little closer together. They're more guitar-ish. You don't have to stretch. Well, everybody really.
Yeah.
Like the comments that you read. A lot of players that use it, they play a lot of hard rock metal type thing. It's not, it's more geared for a thrasher, I guess you could say.
Yep.
But the other one that I have here is the neck is a little bit wider, so the spacing's a little bit different. But I don't know if that's because of when I put my own homemade nut on it. I used deer antler instead of bone that some people use. And when I spaced it, if I look at it, it's spaced right. Actually, it's Samick. That's what it is. I knew it started with an S.
It's what? Sorry, Samick? Oh, Samick, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, now when I've got the fretboard was lifted when I got it, and then I had to re-glue it. I had to put a couple of holes in the fretboard to make sure that it was secured properly, and then I had to change the nut and put the bone on. I had to scrounge some tuning pegs, so I mean the two lower strings, I have to turn the keys in reverse, and I don't know, it's just a mishmash.
Really? So,
that's how I have it set up.
Okay.
That and the tone knobs and the whatever knobs, they fell off, so I had to use. I couldn't use. I tried to put new pots in and then put some new brass knobs on it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, and I thought they were like solid, because these ones have set screws in it, right? So if you use the tapered ones, you put them in, and if you go where that little slot is, they're all kind of wonky and wobbly. So I tried to put one of those
like a nut or something,
the shaft, like a solid shaft, and try and put those on there. But the solid shaft is bigger than
bigger the than
actual
the
knob, and they're metal knobs, so I can't. Yeah. It's not like I can press them, and I'd have to. So I was like, eh. So I got one knob that's brass. I got one knob that's brass.
Can you put like a
washer
in there to make it work better, or no? Or am I totally?
No, it's just. No, it's the actual shaft itself.
Oh, okay.
Like any knob you'd have on anything where you turn the volume up and down.
Yeah.
Well, the shaft where the button goes into, is different than than the button that I had to use. But anyways, that's not here nor there, but yeah. So I'm pretty happy. That's my news, anyways.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're gonna fill up all the time on Todd's new bass.
No, that's good. That's good. We can talk to tech, tech stuff. I like it.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we finally get to practice.
Yes.
Yes.
Since when was the last time we practiced? Was actually when we did the show. Actually, we never practiced. I don't think after that.
No, we did the show and then we took a break and we did some studio stuff. More studio stuff, which we're gonna have to. Well, now that Sylvie's done, I might be able to find an extra night, maybe every other week or something. I'll just head over to your place. We can just turn some knobs and do some tweaking.
Yeah.
On the last tweaks we got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Sylvie's not as busy this month, so Silver Moon Salon is not swamped in January, so we'll actually get some time back.
And, yeah, well, I'm sure Christmas and all the parties and everything going on.
Oh, it was crazy.
I'm sure it was crazy, yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy.
So the kids are happy at Christmas. They got everything they needed and everything they wanted and
you
more.
You know what? What we really realize is I don't know if you remember us growing up. I think Dad was conservative in the early years for gift giving, just from a budget standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think no, because there wasn't much money.
But every present was very important. Dad was really good at picking the presents we really, really wanted.
Right.
Like, he was with me. I think he was with you, too, I'm assuming.
Yeah. We had the Christmas wish book was the Bible of all Christmas shopping back then.
That's right. Sears? Yeah, Sears Christmas wish book, right?
Yeah. It was the big, it used to be really thick, and as time went on, it kind of got thinner and thinner, I think, and then it just kind of disappeared. I think it's just all online now.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I don't know. He was really good at picking stuff. Like, obviously, you get your... Wait, when you got your guitar, was that a Christmas thing? No, it wasn't. It was a birthday thing, wasn't it?
First guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a whole story in itself.
Well, let's tell the story.
You want to tell the story? Okay.
It's a good story. I love this story. I never get tired of hearing it. And I don't think everyone knows the story, so...
Okay, at the very beginning... When I first started playing guitar, people ask me, like, when did you start? I said, well, I've got a picture when I was 6 months old and I was holding this guitar. It actually looked like Danny Allen doing this double tap.
Yeah, I know. No, I remember. I still remember that picture.
Yeah, I think I still have it here somewhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, later on, like, when I actually did start playing, Dad was playing bass. And then I tried to play tried to show me a couple of things. They were playing some CCR. From, I think, the album Pendulum, I think is what it's called.
Oh, Pendulum, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where it kind of started. And then I had one of those acoustic guitars. It's probably one of the cheapest, weird things. And actually on my Facebook page, I think I've got a couple of audio clips of you singing. And I'm playing the guitar. That
what?
Was kind of, I think, your debut.
I might have to go listen to that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, so it started off with the acoustic.
Yeah.
And then later on, I had another acoustic that had bought me. It was a Horner. It was, the neck was like a big tree trunk, and back then my hands were, still
small,
pretty young, so I couldn't, it was a hard time playing it. Of course, he had the Washburn, it was perfect. Nice slim neck.
I remember the Washburn. I do remember that one.
Yeah,
because I think I actually played that one a little bit. Not that I played much guitar, but I think I played on that one.
Yeah. So from there, we used to have parties at our house, right?
Yep.
Growing up, we had the old kitchen parties back east.
Yeah.
The well-known kitchen parties. So we had that. All our aunts and uncles would come over. Some cousins would come over. Everybody would be in the kitchen. Uncle Ron would be there with his. His book of music and his acoustic, and away he went. And boy, and then that was just a party. And everybody, everybody either sang, or he'd have Uncle Junior would be there with his bass, or he had his basement amp with his with the Telecaster that now that I have, because that was the very first electric that I ever picked up and played. Mike. Uncle Mike played drums
Uncle Mike played drums at those kitchen parties?
I actually only saw him play once, and I think it was actually at Peter's camp.
Really? I never saw him play. Or that
It was only once, I think. I only ever heard him play. And it's kind of vague too, so I don't really recall.
How old do you think you were?
Nine? Ten, maybe?
Okay. Wow. See, I don't remember that at all, but I guess I was two.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. Because, I used to be the tape recorder. because the pair, I'd gotten a tape recorder one year for Christmas. So what I did is I'd have it in the other room, I'd hit record, and then you could hear the party, you know, going on. So, I mean, I got a tape of that somewhere. I think I've converted it to MP3. I can't remember.
Well, yeah, maybe we should go dig that up and see if we can find those. Because I think, I don't know if I heard a Ghoul kitchen party or not.
Oh, yeah, no, this one here, as soon as you hit play, you hear Uncle Ronnie singing, I don't do frit mon through.
Oh, come on, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear that. I got to hear that now. Oh, that's awesome.
Drove his Cadillac to Texas, and, you know, the whole day. it was awesome. But anyways, getting back to the guitar portion.
Yep.
So Uncle Junior had this Telecaster, and it's called a Mansfield. So it was kind of a knockoff of a Telecaster, like a Fender Telecaster, back in the day. So he had that and an actual, like, a Fender basement amp, like the 410 Jensen's in it. They had, Kleenex stuffed into speakers because they were buzzing everywhere. Years of use. And and I mean I had that and the Telecaster for years and kind of played around with that, and then we jam with Mike and Norm, and we go over there and jam.
With you're playing the Telecaster.
Playing the Telecaster, yeah, and then one day after practice, because we had gone, I guess we had gone to Moncton Music, and then I picked up. It was a SQ series back then, made in Japan, Squire Strat.
Yeah.
Not like the crap they got out now, but anyways, back then, and I remember the price tag. It said it was $510, and it was on sale for $450 something. So I mean, like today, comparable prices, if you were to buy a Strat in that price range, maybe a couple of years back, you would end up like with a Mexican. Actual Fender Mexican Strat.
Yeah.
Now you can buy, I mean, they've got these affinity ones. I mean, I think all the parts are smaller than standard sizes, and they want like $150, $200 depending on the model. And then you get the kits all together. But anyways, this Mansfield was made in Japan. It had low, and this was back when I didn't know what all this meant, but these low output pickups, they were just like, you're just very generic. It wasn't something we'd crank up the distortion the way it went, because the feedback would scream bloody murder.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much clean, anything that was played. So
it's so different than now, but okay, go on.
So anyways, getting back to, I went to Moncton Music, and I sat down with this Strat. And I just kind of fell in love with it. And Dad knew that. And on the way home, I was very quiet in the back seat. Very quiet. And he knew that I really, really liked the guitar, but it's not something that I was going to tell him, because I knew, you know, it wasn't in the cards. I wasn't even going to put it out there.
Yeah.
But after practice one day, Mom and Dad picked me up. And when I was getting in the car, I hit my foot on something that was sitting on the floor of the back seat. And I was like, what is this?
Which car was this?
I think it may have been...
The green bomb thing?
Yeah, it may have been the... that was a Sebring Satellite Plus 74.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Avocado green.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So you get in the back seat.
Yeah,
it's on the
so
floor.
Yeah, so he says, well, open it up. So I opened it up, and there's the guitar. So, yeah, I was, it was quite emotional.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, even when I think about it, it's quite emotional. But, yeah, it was quite the high life of my childhood, actually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it wasn't one of those things where you buy a kid a guitar, and they play it for a day or two, and then they get sick of it and go to the closet.
No, that wasn't you at all.
No, that wasn't me. That was, I had it. I was playing guitar beforehand. I had it. I played all the time. And again, looking back, these were all single coils. So this wasn't something that I would play a Kiss or anything like that with, because it just didn't have that oomph to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not to say that I didn't try. We just didn't get the right sound. And the fender basement that was there wasn't your typical, because I listen to them now and people crank them up and God they sound great. But this one here, I guess I don't know if it was a lower gain thing or whatnot, but it was pretty much clean the whole way through. Like when you cranked it up,
yeah.
And I had it outside.
I remember it being very clean. I remember that.
Yeah, and it just dined that thing, and it just just clean all the way through. But yeah, so that's the story of that guitar. But once we had Slippery When Wet, Bon Jovi and stuff like that, trying to play that stuff, and then I had it was a hollow body guitar from Mark Richard Zapp's brother.
The red one, Gibson or whatever.
Yeah, it was a red. No, it was an Ibanez.
Oh, Ibanez. Okay.
It was an Ibanez copy. It looked like one of those Johnny B. Good type guitars, the EAS 335 or Gibson or whatever.
Yep.
They use for numbers, but and that the stock pickups that were in it, I would play and I was like, well, why is this sound? This actually has a better sound to it. It had more not distortion, but more I guess overdrive would be the term.
Okay, yeah.
It had more clipping to it. It wasn't like the single chords where it was so thin. It had a nicer sound, but it was like. But the thing is when he had this guitar, he had it. I guess they dressed the frets to the point where they were dressed almost to the fingerboard, so you're almost like playing a fretless guitar, and
yeah.
It was really hard to play.
Yes.
But it rang out like when you rang a note, boy,
oh, yeah.
it rang out quite a while. That was my first.
Your first other guitar.
My first other guitar that was a hollow body.
Yeah. Your first was the Squire, and then that was your second one, right? The Ibanez?
Yeah,
did
that
you have
one.
One in between there. I don't think you did. Did you?
No, that one he actually gave me.
Who did?
Zapp's brother.
Oh, Zapp's brother actually gave it to you? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you did you play with whatever the band was called, Mitoma, or did you actually? No, I guess that was Zapp. Did you actually play that guitar with the band at all, or were you just playing your Squire at the time? Or only the Squire?
Just the Squire.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're playing with. I was playing either with Zapp, or if I was playing with Norm and Mike, or if I was playing with whoever. It was just that guitar because that was the only one that I had. I mean, now it's a different story, but back then, yeah, I mean, that was it. That was, and I didn't know anything about neck relief, and I tried to get, because it was buzzing everywhere, and I tried to do with the knowledge that I had. Of course, we didn't have YouTube or internet to figure out how to do all this stuff, but I mean, now I know exactly, how to do the intonation and do,
I remember you boiling your
relief and everything. And
boiling in wax, stuff in wax, and... And all that, I remember you always trying things to improve the sound.
Well, that was the thing with the single coils; they would squeal.
Yeah.
And being a Squire, they weren't exactly expensive pickups.
Yeah.
But they were very low output pickups. But when you went and turned everything up, you get a lot of feedback and stuff. So, I mean, the things you read everywhere, it's like, you dip them in wax, type thing. So, I mean, I did that. I can't remember now if it helped or not, but, I did that. What was the other thing you said?
Just boiling. I remember boiling stuff.
Oh, boiling the strings. Yes.
Boiling
yes.
Strings.
Yes.
So you boiled the strings in wax. What did you do with the pickups? Did you boil?
What happened with the pickups? You would, it would be like, Pavia would usually, he'd have a thing of wax in the pot on the stove and he'd, let it all melt up, right?
Yeah.
So when it's all melted like that, then you dip the pickup in it.
The pickup right in the wax.
Yeah, and you leave it in for a few seconds. Not too long, because I guess there's, it might have burnt or the wires or
well, that's
plastic.
I saw you doing that when I was young and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? It's electronics, doesn't that break it? I was always fascinated. I remember watching you on the stovetop, boiling wax, and I'm like, this guy's hardcore.
You know, I probably wasn't doing it right, but I mean, you did what you thought it was from what you either read or heard, right?
Yeah. Well, you'd probably read an interview in Guitar Player magazine or something. Oh, I dip my stuff in wax and like, I'm going to just do it.
And when I think about it now, boiling strings, it's like, what the hell was I thinking? But the thing is, back then, you did with what you had.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only time you ever change a string is if it broke. And if you broke, it's like, oh, my God. Then you get, you know, of course, you have to buy a whole, you know, buy a string, which is probably the price of half a pack of a whole, you know, a whole string change.
Well, yeah, we had no money back. Like, when you're a kid, you don't have any money.
Yeah, and we lived out in the boondocks, and we never got to Moncton so to go pick up strings. And when you picked up strings, you know, we didn't have, you know, working at a co-op at minimum wage. I didn't have money for that, let alone, you know, gas, you know, to get there. So
yeah, and the time, like, drive there, drive back.
And that all came from Dad. I don't know where he got it from, but he must have done the same thing because, you know, what we do is we take the strings off. And, like, when you first buy a pack of strings, they come all wrapped up, right?
Yep.
In a circle. So you try and put it back in the circle, and you kind of wind it up a little bit. And then you throw it in a pot of water with vinegar. Okay. Now, the vinegar is supposed to cut all the, you know, all the greases and crap off your fingers and whatnot. But, I mean, it didn't get rid of the, I don't know if it got rid of the rust or not. But anyways, you boil them for about 15 minutes or 20 minutes. I can't remember. But when you put them back on, they almost sounded like they were new.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was that.
String maintenance.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, but when you're playing guitar on the strings, when you pull the strings off, everywhere that the string hit the fret, usually you have a little bit of an indent. Yeah. So, I mean, you take the strings off, you boil them, put them back on, you get the indent just slightly off on a different angle. Like, you just, of course, it's buzzing everywhere because your string isn't straight anymore. But, I mean, like I said, you did with what you had, and that was it. So, I mean, even now, I don't boil my strings, but I don't go, okay, oh, it's been a month, I got to change my strings, or 2 weeks, or whatever. I get guitars here that have had the same strings for years.
Yeah.
Only the ones, you know, if I'm planning on playing one for a while and I notice that they're, you know, getting pretty bad, then I'll change them.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I don't play it, it doesn't really, I mean, the tone of the string, I'm sure, changes, but not enough for me to say, oh yeah, no, I got to change them.
Yeah. I want you to save that thought. I want to go into more depth with this, but I'm actually home. So we'll cap it off here. But I want to go into more depth in this because I was always fascinated with the whole you taking guitars apart and rebuilding them and all this. I think Danny will.
I want to talk about this.
Well, yeah, I want to do a whole section of that because I think Danny, who was on the show before, our cousin, he's a luthier. He actually got.
Oh yeah, he's an actual luthier. Yeah, he went to school for this.
This is old school. Todd doing it old school. So I think I want to talk about this at length. So. We'll cap it off here. We'll do a part two. In the part two, we'll talk about the whole technical side of guitar repair and taking guitars apart and making them sound better. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. Well, you have a good evening.
Yes, you too.
And we will talk to you again soon.
Okay. See you later.
All right. All right. See ya.
Bye-bye. Okay.